We were far out in the country, and Hans was at the wheel. He had agreed to drive only if there was no other car in sight, and there were many such times in Poland, even in 1961. I sat in the passenger's seat beside him, trying to figure out just how much money we were out, and how I could have been such an idiot, when suddenly, up ahead, I saw that we were coming to a tricky bit of driving. A bridge was out, and the bypass road plunged steeply down from the highway, crossed the stream on a flimsy temporary bridge, and rose straight up the embankment on the other side. A Polish Warsaw was even now ahead of us down in the gully, inching its way across the little bridge. I glanced at Hans to see how he was taking the situation. Perspiration was standing out on his lip as he gripped the wheel, but there was a determination in his eyes. Good, I thought. A few tough manoeuvres like this one and he'll gain confidence. Hans turned off the pavement and started down the slope. To my delight, he seemed to have the car in perfect control. We went neither faster nor slower than before. At his perpetual 15 miles an hour, he crept down the slope and onto the bridge. Now we were across. But now also the other car was directly ahead of us, toiling up the opposite side. Too late, I realized that Hans was not going to stop. Like a movie in slow motion, he ground relentlessly into the rear of the Warsaw. The driver came spluttering back. His broad, Slavic face was red, his fists clenched. "You pray while I try to talk with him," I said to Hans. "Good morning, friend. Beautiful day," I said in German. Together we stepped to the rear of his car and inspected the damage. Thanks to Hans's snail's pace, it was not great. The tail light and one rear fender were damaged. Our bumper and a front fender were dented. "Police," said the man. "Police, police." That German word he knew well. But that was the one thing that mustn't happen. Here we were loaded down with Bibles in a communist country, and here was Hans, with no driver's license, at the wheel. And then I remembered my wallet, stuffed with zloty. Was this why God had allowed me to make that foolish over-exchange? "Well, now," I said, "how much do you think it will cost?" The Pole's face did not change. "Police! Police!" he said. I put a piece of glass back up against the taillight and shrugged, hoping to indicate that I didn't think the damage was too great. 6,000 zloty? The man understood that all right. His fists unclenched. But he repeated again the single word, "Police!" 8,000 zloty? 9,000? Surely the repairs wouldn't cost more than 9,000? With a dramatic gesture, I reached into my wallet and drew out one more 1,000 zloty note. 10,000. And that's a fair amount, I said, holding the money out. He took it. As he raced back to his car, he shouted over his shoulder, "No police!"